Welcome to the Goal Lines Podcast, your Mid-Missouri football guide. If you don't already subscribe, find us on Apple Podcasts and Google Play.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's installment of the News Tribune Football Podcast featuring the Jefferson City Jays. I'm your host, Tony Hawley, sitting here with Anderson Kimball of the News Tribune. And before Anderson and I start to break things down this week, let's listen to a little bit of his conversation with the Jays head coach, Damon Wells.
Yeah, I guess just kind of to start, I know you guys kind of get your bye, but I guess what is your kind of plan? What's kind of been going on this week?
Oh, man, we have, you can see, big lists of things we need to improve upon. We're paying a lot of attention to, honestly, blocking, tackling, special teams. Again, we haven't had these kids for 4 years, so
yeah.
We're trying to use this week, to be honest with you, to make up for some lost time that we didn't have otherwise.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and does that kind of help to be able to not have an opponent this week, just to kind of be able to do kind of like a self-scout and kind of do those things?
Absolutely, yeah.
All right, that was Jays head coach Damon Wells, and before Anderson and I start breaking things down this week, I would like to take a moment at the close of the regular season to thank some of our Goal Line sponsors from this season. So we'd like to extend some thanks to Capital Region Sports Medicine, Warehouse Tire and Muffler, and Jefferson Asphalt. Well, Anderson, you always want to go into the postseason on the heels of a victory, and the Jays were able to do just that the last week. And, you know, I don't want to speak for you, so I'll let you say it here in a minute, but I got to imagine it was probably an entertaining 50-37 win at Ford Zumwalt West. So was it as entertaining as maybe the score made it seem?
Yeah, I mean, it was back and forth there, especially in the first three quarters. You know, I mean, the biggest difference was, I mean, Ford Zumwalt West scored on the first play of the fourth quarter. They didn't score again.
Okay.
And so Jeff City gets a couple of touchdowns, a couple of stops. And
hard to have a back and forth when one of them one's going back and one's not going forth.
It's a second straight shootout. And then, you know, Ford Zumwalt West just kind of stopped firing at the end with the Jays eating a lot of clock with some possessions, and they got some timely stops. And so that was really all that they needed there. But yeah, it's been, watching this offense it's been entertaining. They really light up the scoreboard.
Other than the Halias game where they only scored seven, we've kind of seen not only just a natural progression kind of increasing as the season has gone on, but just the fact that, you know, you look at it and it started out kind of a little bit slow at, you know, 20-13 the first two games, but then you're talking about you close with 34, 49, 42, 66, the outlier was 7, and then 55 and 50. So, yeah, it has been the sort of thing where they've definitely found their footing as the season's gone on, at least on the offensive side of the ball, where you just go, you know what, things are clicking pretty well at this point.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, they've only had really two games, early against Hannibal and then against Slice, where they looked overmatched. Mm-hmm. Those other games, they've been able to put up a fight, and against Chaminade, I think that's more kind of both teams are just sloppy in the first game of the season more than anything else.
Sure, sure.
And, I mean, yeah, they've just been, you know, I mean, when they've had teams that are similar in size, their offensive line has been really effective, and I think they just kind of went up against a buzzsaw against Elias.
Okay. I guess the good thing is the fact that, you know, this gives you confidence going into the postseason. I mean, I think, you know, obviously the way the season's played out, you've already got enough confidence, but I think the fact that you just go, you know what, if we find ourselves in a game where it's a shootout, we can win those type of games because we've done that this season. So I guess it's got to be really encouraging for the Jays as they kind of enter the postseason to just go, you know what, we like our chances against a lot of people because we're going to have a puncher's chance against a lot of these teams, you know. So I think it's really interesting from the standpoint of you just go, you know what, some games you just go, gosh, I don't know if we can get to 21 points or 24 points to be able to beat this team. I feel like, you know, the Jays are probably entering these games going, you know what, whatever the point total is that we need to get to, we can maybe get there.
Yeah, I mean, if you're scoring like they are, you know, you can play with anybody because then they're a couple mistakes away from upsetting most teams if you're putting up over 40 points. So, yeah, I mean, I think as long as the offense plays like it is the last couple weeks, they'll be able to be competitive with anybody in Class 4. And that kind of looming kind of rematch with Hannibal in the district championship game seems a lot more interesting than maybe it was in week two after that.
You stole the next question right out of my mouth, because you look at it and you go, okay, so the way it shakes out is the Jays end the regular season at 5-4. So it's been a long road to get to that point. But I also feel like, you know, if at the beginning of the season you'd said, okay, you know for sure that you're in Class 4 District 5, and you know for sure that Hannibal is really good and probably the one seed.
Yeah.
But you don't know if maybe you're going to get the 2 seed.
Yeah.
We've now done the work, and we've gotten to the point where they are the 2 seed. So I guess you go, you know what, if you told me at the beginning of the season that Jays were going to be in this situation where they are right now, then that's pretty much about as good as you could probably expect from how the season was going to play out.
Yeah, exactly. And from week two on, they've done pretty much everything you could have reasonably asked them to do, except for maybe that game where a couple turnovers and that Rockbridge game kind of gets away from them. But, I mean, that game, in the grand scheme of things, you know, now isn't really that meaningful, honestly.
Right.
And so, yeah, it's all been kind of them setting up that offense and kind of getting that defense to improve, which it's done at points. It's been very up and down, but, I mean, with the group that young, you can kind of expect that.
Sure.
So, yeah, I mean, it's a really big play. I mean, obviously, they're not going to overlook. I mean, Kirksville will be a pretty big favorite against Marshall to play
right.
in the semifinals, so you don't really want to overlook them necessarily for Jeff City, but, I mean, they'll kind of, if they take care of business, I think that they'll be okay.
Yeah. You mentioned it already. The fact that the other thing about doing the work that you needed to do this season was you're hoping to get one of those two byes in the district by being one of the top 2 seeds, and so you do get that. So the good news is, I mean, and we'll talk about this in a second, but to me the good news is you get the bye, you get a week off, you get to prepare for either 3 seed Kirksville or 6 seed Marshall. Now, is it a good thing? Some coaches will tell you, I'd rather not have the week off. Some would rather not. To me, at this point in the season, especially with football, and really with any sport, but especially football in such a collision-oriented sport as it is,
yeah.
I'll take the extra week to get healthy. So I think it is a reward. Now, I don't know if Coach Wells sees that the same way, so I don't know if you guys talked about that this week,
yeah.
but what's your kind of indication on whether or not he likes the fact that they've gotten a quote-unquote reward of having a bye week this week?
Yeah, he's a big this week he seemed like he was a very big fan of the bye week,
okay.
just because also with them kind of learning a lot of things in the first week, you know, they've had... I mean, they haven't had nearly as... They've gotten a good handle on kind of the system they want to run, but it's still not perfect, and there still have been a couple hiccups. So
okay.
He was really excited about just having a week where they don't have an opponent, so you can do a little bit of tinkering and fine-tuning. And
sure.
I mean, they didn't get a full or, I guess, right... I mean, nobody got a full or regular spring. And so, I mean, now if they get to kind of have just another extra week to kind of tack on, sort of to treat it kind of like maybe you would in the fall, where it's like... Okay, we are going to look a little bit ahead at who we might play in the next round, but also we get to kind of focus on ourselves and kind of work things out is kind of what his mindset is.
Right. And I think it bears repeating, too, that, I mean, you know, in a year where some teams have had COVID-related outages where they haven't had a week or haven't had this, Jays have played their whole complement of games, so you always kind of want to have some maybe time to recuperate from bumps and bruises and nicks and scrapes and all that sort of stuff. So I guess the natural question is then, you know, how are the Jays in terms of, you know, having their overall squad heading into the postseason when they do that in another week?
Yeah, I mean, compared to how they've been the rest of the season, they're about as healthy as you could hope for and ask for, which, I mean, this extra week, he said it was kind of mostly for players who have been kind of banged up and playing. They haven't necessarily been out or missed games, but, I mean, they've been a little hampered and
sure.
kind of had bumps and bruises. They get a week to kind of rest. But the biggest thing is it also gives another week to kind of help get Will Berenson fully back. I mean, he was able to long snap in their season finale, which was, I mean, he was able to come back after missing a big chunk of the season and... I mean, he'll at least be... It looks likely at this point. I mean, you can never say for sure because, you know, there's a whole week that needs to be
sure.
without it happening.
But right.
He's on pace to be at least available on offense and defense.
Okay.
I mean, again, there could be... I mean, with injuries like that coming back, there always could be a roadblock that comes out of nowhere. But,
sure, sure.
I mean, it looks like he's on pace to do that, and so that'll be a big, big addition. The biggest thing, honestly, would be to see... You know, if he's missed 2/3 of the year, just to see how much... He can plan how much he can really kind of get back in the swing of things for the Jays.
Sure. So I guess that gets us to the prediction point of the podcast, and it does not involve the Jays this week, but it does involve the potential opponent of the Jays. So again, 7 o'clock Friday night, 3 seed Kirksville host 6 seed Marshall. So do we expect seeds to hold, and do you expect the Jays to be hosting Kirksville next week, or how do you see that one playing out?
Yeah, I mean, I would expect the Jays to host Kirksville. Marshall's been a little pesky against some district opponents. They were within 2 touchdowns. Kirksville won 14-0 in the regular season matchup.
Okay.
I think they'll do a little better than that. I think Kirksville's going to get a little bit more offense going because they've been a little better offensively against some other teams on the schedule. So I think they'll win 24-10.
All right. That should do it for this week. For Anderson Kimball, I'm Tony Hawley saying thanks for listening.
For more information about this week's games, pick up a copy of the Goal Line section in Friday's News Tribune, and get game updates and more prep sports content all week by following NT Sports on Twitter. Thanks for listening.